Hey, here we go. It's almost Yule time, and we are back. My name's Jen.
I'm Jerry.
And we are here with Season 2, Episode 4, a.k.a. What's the episode, Carrie?
A.k.a. Episode 99.
99. Imagine that.
Show 1980 Toto did a song called 99. I keep waiting so long for 99. Remember that one?
Yes, I do. And of course,
we recited on the show, and we have come to 99.
And we have. Now, last year, this time, we did the top 100 Christmas movies ever. And I still say Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I was going to explore maybe a little bit the top 100 Christmas movies, but you had to go and do the Die Hard thing again, didn't you?
Dare to be different.
I'm apparently the only person that believes that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Actually, no. No, my friend, you are not. Barry argues with me. Mickey argues with me.
Gotcha. Good.
So there are lots of people out there who do not feel that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. However, they're wrong.
Oh my God. All right. Fine.
But
I'm just saying, when like tons of people die, there are explosions and that sort of thing, it automatically does not become a holiday movie. It is a hard action movie.
Okay, is Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie?
To me, actually, a little bit more than Die Hard.
It's a Christmas movie!
But I still don't think it's a Christmas
movie. It's a Christmas movie.
I'm going to throw this at you, but you may agree with the consensus, but you remember the movie Independence Day?
Yes.
Independence Day? Will Smith?
Yes!
Welcome to Earth.
The speech was amazing!
Okay, so is that a 4th of July movie?
Yes. Today will no longer be an American holiday. This is the 4th of July. Hell yeah!
And still, I'm not watching that after the fireworks and the grill. You know what I mean? I'm not inspired now to go see a great American 4th of July movie and putting in Independence Day.
Well, are you just an anti-American? What?
Oh, my God. In the last 5 years, that has become a valid argument.
Oh, yeah.
Right, though.
But, you know, I do the TikTok thing, and I do a lot of posts on TikTok, and I also watch a lot of TikTok. And, there's someone, and I can't remember who it was, that does a post that America is like a bad boyfriend. It's scary. It's like, yeah. She's talking to her friend. She's like, we've known each other a long time, and I feel that I have to say this to you. America doesn't treat you right. And she goes, well, what are you talking about? You don't know. It's just because you're on the outside. And then the boyfriend shows up and goes, hey, hun. She's like, how did you know she was here? Oh, I read her emails. You're okay with this? Oh, well, there's not a lot I can do about it. Her phone goes off. He's like, who the fuck is texting you? Picks it up, goes, oh, it's your mom. You're allowed to answer that one. It's okay.
Oh, wow.
And it just gets worse from there.
Hey, before I forget, and this seems literally, it's not Christmas, but we've passed Halloween, and I don't know if we talked about this, and for the past couple of weeks, I've wanted you to weigh in on this.
Okay.
But we've talked, and maybe you guys have touched on this before, but do you believe The Nightmare Before Christmas is a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie? And I have no skin in this game. You know what? I don't know. I don't even necessarily care.
Both.
But do you classify?
It's both.
Okay, so you do the both?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry. I believe in Krampus. So, yeah, it's both.
The Babadook.
Do not even invoke the Babadook's name.
But you know what? I have to say, Burton ended up kind of doing that crazy cross-platform. I don't know of. I mean, he literally combined two holidays and
that are polaric opposites.
And you can watch it either time.
Yeah, and it's great. It's got the message from both sides, which I think is really cool.
My God, yes, you're so right.
And speaking of Christmas, I'll go into this more next episode, which we will be publishing on the 21st of December, which is the winter solstice. It is also where most people place the celebration of Yule. And we're all inclusive here. We don't care. Christmas, Yule, Kwanzaa, whatever you believe in, hey, more power to you and happy whatever that is. But with Yule, I love, especially because it gets cold. Yule is it's when the light starts getting longer and the nights start getting shorter again. It's the triumph of light over darkness. And I like to celebrate by putting pine cones with peanut butter or honey rolled in birdseed. You can make yourself a little Christmas tree outside with these things. They're all natural. They're all very good for the environment, and they're all very good for the wildlife. So that's what I'm going to be doing within this next week, is setting myself up my little Yule tree outside.
And you know what? Actually, also, no kidding, smells really good.
It does. It does.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's great. However, if you don't like squirrels and assorted birds in your yard, don't do it.
you need to change them out maybe every once in a while.
Well, actually, no, because the wildlife will carry them off.
pardon me. Right. They're like, there's not going to be anything left.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, I'll bring them in also. You know, the fresh pine cone, you know, smell, bring them in and get that
pine boughs.
Scent.
I used to love to bring the pine boughs in when I was living about 30 miles away. Bring the pine boughs in and put them above the doorways because they smell so good, and there's not near as much mess to clean up as an actual living pine tree.
And, you know, gentle listener, wherever you are, maybe you are international, we literally, it's two words, Georgia pines.
Yes.
And just, they're known for their lushness, they're known for their greenness and their scent.
Yep, and if you like that kind of smell, if you like that cedary, piney smell,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, brilliant. Better than any incense you will find.
Yeah, and without the smoke.
Yep. So, I wanted to talk about Loki. We kept saying we were going to get back to our basics this season, which we haven't done yet. So, Loki, season 2, Tom Hiddleston. There's been a lot of activity when it comes to Tom here lately. Over the summer, we found out he had a little boy. So, I know that everyone is thrilled with that, and I know that Tom is thrilled with that. He's not near as accommodating with his fans, but I understand that. You know, you're cutting into his time with his kid. Hello.
Yeah, he's like a lot of actors. Actually, the majority of actors are like that.
Well, yeah, and, you know, like I said, totally understandable. I know when my kids were born, I'd love to stay and talk, but no.
So,
that is cut down a little bit, and there's been a little bit of backlash when it comes to that. You know, people, He wouldn't even stop so I could take a selfie with him. Yeah, you and how many hundred others are going to stop him? And, you know, he only has, just like us, so many hours in the day.
Yeah, he's literally in a goddamn hurry. And you want to, and there's a line.
And the man is, I've seen several of his turndowns, his no, I'm sorry, thank you. And he is always very gracious, very courteous, very, you know, look, I'm really sorry, but I need to get back to my kid. So, yeah, guys, if you are fortunate enough to meet the man, cut him some slack, okay?
Right.
But now, go ahead.
Well, you know, we kind of lose, I think, a lot of the specialness of moments like that, screwing around with our cameras, you know, and posting it, you know, just keep the memory. You know, you met the guy, and it's all about you are one-on-one with Tom Hiddleston. Don't get your goddamn Android device involved. Just be like, hey, man, thanks. It was good to see you. Hey, bye. Bye.
Yeah, I love your work. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and he loves that. And I really do think that a lot of celebrities, I think about what if I ran into somebody that I really liked just kind of on the street. I am certain that I would not badger them for an autograph or a picture. I really don't.
Yeah, I got, actually, a little bit of Johnny Depp news. I got a message back, finally. You know, I told you I've about given up the idea that I will meet both Johnny and Tom and get them to sign my tattoos.
Okay.
So I was going to cheese it. I was going to photocopy an image of their signatures and just have my tattoo artist put them up underneath the tattoos.
Oh, that's cool. I don't think you have to. Yeah, that's great.
But I did not want to do that until I got the okay from the different management teams and stuff. Okay. Because technically, that's a copyright.
Okay. That is a likeness, right?
It is a signature. It's the same thing as if someone were to swipe my signature.
Right.
You know, and not that I could get into trouble for it. But just not as a courtesy, and I really didn't expect to hear back. However, Johnny Depp's team got back to me and said that there was absolutely no problem with me having the likeness of his signature tattooed under his Edward Scissorhands tattoo.
You could have told me this before we started the podcast. What?
That's why I didn't tell you.
That's huge. Wow.
It is.
Wow.
It is huge. It is huge.
Wow. I mean, now you got to do it.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yup. As soon as... but see, my tattoo artist also has to be convinced to do it. So, yeah, I'll be talking to KC at Beyond Taboo Tattoo in Macon, Georgia, about doing this for me. He's the one who put both my Loki and my Edward Scissorhands tattoos on.
Good damn work. Amazing
yes. work. The entire crew at Beyond Taboo are insane. You've got some, like Birdsong is really good with portrait style. Ink.
Faces,
nice. Likenesses. Casey is brilliant with black and white and shades. But each and every one of them has their own style and has their own specialities, and each and every one complements the others. So if you're in the area, if you're coming through, if you're thinking about visiting, go to Beyond Taboo Tattooed. That's where you want to get your ink.
Yeah, we've all seen those two tattoos.
Oh, they're posted on the blog.
Phenomenal.
And they are incredible.
The colors on Loki.
Oh, yes. And Casey does not work with color much. He Yeah, he doesn't like working with color, but he did a
yellow, gold, and green.
He did a brilliant job with my Loki tattoo. So, now because we're talking about Tom Hiddleston, Loki. Do you know his wife Zoe is now a Marvel villain?
Okay. No, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on, and is it the Marvels?
I believe so. Give me one second.
Which I haven't seen. But, you know, I know that she has a theater background, and I can't help but notice that theater people do really, really well with MCU roles.
They do, and she is no exception from what... Now, see, the reason I'm bringing our erstwhile host in on this one is because he has seen the movie. I have not. Okay, everybody say hi. Welcome, Barry, back to the show. Thank you, Barry, for showing up.
Yeah, well, you know, my plane just landed on the runway. So.
We ushered him down to the limousine and straight over to the studio.
Yeah.
So
you've seen Zoe as the villain. She was in the Marvels?
Yes, yeah, she's the villain of the film. And, you know, it was interesting, when I first saw it, I didn't know that she was. I was not familiar with her. I had seen a couple of pictures with her and with Tom, but of course she looks quite different in the film. She plays a Kree, and...
Oh, yeah.
She actually plays a Kree?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay.
And, so yeah, she's the big villain of the film, and of course it's definitely a female-led film. The three main characters are all women, and so it made sense, you know, they have a strong female as the villain. She was okay in it. Yeah, I mean, I liked the movie. I thought it was really good, but, I mean, if I had to say one of the weak parts was, I think, her role, I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, she looked like a bad actress or anything. I just think that... they had to spend so much time, I think, with the three leads and Samuel L. Jackson, because there's a lot of stuff with Nick Fury.
Right.
That, you know, she's kind of, you know, they give her motivation, which was pretty cool. But then after that, it's basically, you know, she's just the villain. Yeah,
right.
She's just the villain.
Do you think maybe the weak spots have to do more with her theater training rather than being a big screen actress to begin with?
I didn't really feel that way. I think mainly it was just kind of a... I would put most of the blame there on the script,
I was
going to
say, is it a script issue or is it an actress issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think she did okay with what she had. You know, I mean, I would be curious to see her in something else. Again, I think it's worth seeing, especially if you're a Marvel fan. It's good. And... the three leads are all fantastic. They do a great, great job. But, you know, she has several scenes where she is fighting all three heroes at once.
How did she do with that?
She did pretty good. I mean, the fight choreography, you know, looked believable with her. I think it would be interesting to see her in the same film with Tom.
Oh, yeah.
To see, you know, how they played off each other and whether or not there was any... you know, chemistry that would be visible there.
See, that's the thing, I think, why Marvel has not done that yet, because there is definitely every response I've ever seen from one of their stage plays with the two of them together, it is very obvious. There is no hiding the chemistry, the attraction between the two. So, you know, with the Loki series just coming to a close, mm-hmm. And Loki supposedly in love with Sylvie, showing Loki as having another love interest might be counterproductive at this time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely don't think there would be any, it wouldn't make any sense at all for Loki and this character to be romantically involved. But, I mean, still, I would like to see, you know, if there is just chemistry in terms of their acting together. Because, I mean, like, for instance, in Kong Skull Island, I thought that there was a lot of chemistry with him and Brie Larson.
Yes, there was.
It's also Captain Marvel.
Right.
You know, so they played off each other very well. I'd be interested to see how they would react to each other on stage or on film.
And in other news, Samuel L. Jackson, I did not find out if he is going to be in Macon during the filming that we're having January, I think it's 16th through the 22nd.
Something like that, yeah.
We got Denzel Washington is, his son is directing the movie. What? Denzel Washington is starring in it. And aside from Denzel, you're going to have Samuel L. Jackson and, oh my God, Erykah Badu is going to be in this film.
It's going to be a Netflix film.
Right, but still, Netflix has actually produced some really jam up.
Well, it's a film.
Yeah. So we don't get Tom Hiddleston, but at least we get Denzel Washington and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if Marvel were to put her character into other movies, would that be something that you would be interested in seeing, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You know, this film picks up from a lot of different shows and things in terms of the plot lines. I mean, it continues on from Ms. Marvel and from Secret Invasion and several other things. And, you know, they mess around with the Skrulls in this one a bit, too, which also kind of picks up from, you know, first Captain Marvel and from Secret Invasion. So I could easily see, you know, her character being brought back. You know, if they wanted to play some more with the Kree or the Skrulls and the cosmic side of things. I mean,
right.
Is she an established character? Is she playing an established character in the Marvel universe?
She is, but the character in the comics, I believe, was a man.
So breaking boundaries as well, then.
Right, well, yeah. I mean, the Captain Marvel films have...
Yeah.
You have done that quite a bit. I mean, you know, the first one they had, you know, the character who was basically the original Captain Marvel was a woman in that one.
Right.
So, you know, they've kind of done that a bit, kind of twisting the genders around. But yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well,
the Jim Starlin Captain Marvel.
Yes. Yep. Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel.
Yeah.
All right, so Carrie, do you have any other questions for Barry before we allow him to his rest after his long journey?
Yeah, I've actually got to go and hit up a couple more podcasts tonight. Sit in on those.
Podcast Thursdays.
Yeah. However, Barry, while I've got you on the show, we want you to come on the show and discuss your books.
Oh. Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to believe, too.
The Lazarus Gray series, the Straw Man series, the Rook series, and your several independent standalone books.
True. Yeah, sure. Yeah, anytime.
And guys, don't blame him. He killed me. It's all his fault.
You know, I may be talking about an episode you haven't released yet, but I did overhear you guys talking about she was in The Night Manager, and she was also in Guardians 2. Yes. Where I first encountered her, of course, was in the 2013 Great Gatsby film.
Yes.
Where she plays Jordan Baker. Great actress.
Yeah, she intimidates me just for the fact that she's 6'3". She is a full foot taller than me.
Yeah, and she was perfect for the role of Jordan because, of course, when Nick Carraway first sees her, one of the lines from the book is that he had never seen a more terrifying woman. And so, yeah, she was perfect for that.
Oh, yeah, that fits.
But, yeah, I'll be back anytime you want me to do a little bit of self-promotion.
Absolutely. Carrie?
Well, you know, I was just going to comment. We talked about the Marvels movie, and I really appreciated it. I think it was, I was a reader at the time, and so for me, I really liked Monica as Captain Marvel. You know, the white suit with the black.
Yeah, I always liked Monica.
So they've given her a fair amount of attention.
Yeah,
The movie?
In the film, I definitely say she gets kind of equal time with Kamala and Carol.
Excellent.
And interestingly enough, you know, in the comics, you know, for a while she was called Spectrum, and now she's Photon. But in the movie, they don't give her a superhero name, even though Kamala keeps trying to come up with one for her. She suggests, you know, Lady Marvel and... Yeah, I think Marvelina was one, and all these kind of things. But, they don't pick one. That's just a recurring gag. That also in Kamala trying to name, you know, a team for the three of them.
But, she's always trying to ship stuff.
They reference her fanfic and stuff.
Ship Marvel heroes.
Yeah.
We don't even want to start talking about that.
No, literally, that's like one of her things.
But I have a plethora of ships that people will probably be like, oh, God, you did not go there.
Well, you know, speaking of ships and the Marvels, a lot of people think, you know, that Carol and Monica's mom, who was a major character in Captain Marvel, that the two of them were an item, just based upon... the fact that neither of them, you know, had a male companion. The fact that they were such close friends.
Oh, because they can't be close friends and not have male companions without being lesbian lovers.
The fact that Monica refers to Carol, you know, as Aunt Carol. And so a lot of people just think it's like queer coding, you know, that they didn't want to just come out and say it. But I don't know.
However, they can come out and say that Loki is multisexual.
Well, it's interesting. They say that in interviews, though, but they really don't play that up on the show.
They kind of do.
Not really.
There's been a few comments, like when Loki and Sylvie are dancing. And she says, so, do you leave a lot of princesses back on Asgard? Or princes?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, a few of both. Yeah. Probably the same as you.
But that was pretty much it.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that he's saying it while dancing with a woman makes it kind of, you know, kind of cutesy. I mean, if they did something with Mobius together.
Don't get me started.
Then that would be much bolder.
Get me started. That's one of the things I was hoping to see on season two.
Well, of course, you haven't finished season two.
I know that, and I'm working on it. It's just a lot to digest, guys. I would not recommend binging Loki season two. I would not. There is so much to wrap your head around on each and every episode. I can't do it, and I am a Loki fanatic.
I understand they kept it moving.
Oh, kept it moving? Yeah, the trains on the fast track are moving slow compared to this series.
You need to finish it before you find out spoilers, though.
I have been actively avoiding spoilers. However, you're gonna have to tell me. All right, you have not even clued me in because you said it ends as it should. But I said that the worst ending possible would be if Sylvie had to die and if Loki had to kill her. And I got no response from you. Well, Carrie had another idea.
Yeah, sure, but I'm not talking about, like, blowing this up, you know, while we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, but what was your idea?
Barry's the only one that's seen it.
Right.
We can't be...
Yeah, we can. He says it's the reverse, that Sylvie has to kill Loki. And I'm getting nothing.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to confirm or deny anything.
No, I just had to see his face. So
it is a powerful ending.
All right. So thank you, Barry.
Yeah.
For coming in.
Okay.
Well, bye.
My handlers are telling me I got to go.
The entourage is getting them.
Yeah, they're actually coming in with guns and stuff going, hey, dude, you got to move.
He has a Christmas appearance to make.
There we go.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Barry.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He is amazing, and he has such insight when it comes to movies and the comic book genre in general. That, yeah, I love having him on the show.
I actually, no kidding. And I always thought, oh, I appreciate Barry, but I have every one of his Who's Who in the Marvel Universe updates in my comic book collection in my bedroom.
That
one of Barry Reese comics.
That is awesome.
He did a lot of them.
Oh, he did. He absolutely did. Hell, he gave Blade his name.
Actual name. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool as fuck because Blade is one of my favorite characters.
What's Blade's real name?
Eric Johnson. Right.
Yep, and I always loved it that, you know, he named him after my brother.
So. Yeah. And of course, we cannot underestimate the fact that Tracy Lords was in the original Blade movie and in Crybaby with Johnny Depp.
Yep. Lee, did you know this?
Lee probably has no clue who Tracy Lords is, and let's keep it that way.
Well, I meant more Eric, you know, Blade, and your Uncle Eric have the same name.
Oh.
Lee, who was your favorite Marvel villain? MCU.
MCU?
Yeah.
No clue.
Wow. Do you have a favorite hero?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite MCU hero? Nice.
Absolutely.
Great choice.
Oh, and after our Tracy Lords podcast of a couple of weeks ago, I did some research.
Mm-hmm.
She did one adult film after she turned 18. It is still available out there. It's still out there. You can still find it. But she did one. One film after she turned 18.
I understand that it's in demand, and from what I also understand, you will be prosecuted horribly if you own and or distribute, even online,
her younger films.
Before that. Yep.
Well, that is considered child porn, and I'm sorry, forgive me, but I absolutely, wholeheartedly agree with them.
Yeah. Once again, I was more of a Christy Canyon guy, just saying.
Tracy Lords, though, she has the perfect build. I mean, she's tall. She needs a little more meat. All right. Yeah, feed that bitch a hamburger.
I appreciate she was an athlete. She was built athletically, so I can see why she was so, you know, right. I mean, she really, like, was an athlete.
Yeah, I know plenty of people that would say she was athletic.
Yeah. Ooh, gotta wrap it up, though.
Oh, man, we're only at 35 minutes.
Are we?
Yeah. Can you give us another 20?
You bet.
Awesome. And yes, it's getting close to the season, so a lot of us have a lot of things going on, and yeah, we gotta take a little bit, so we're probably not going to do the full hour episode tonight, probably closer to 50-55 minutes, but
most
people get bored after listening to us for about 15 anyway, so
certainly not. we actually put the tree up. We have a single MCU character that is on the tree, and it's not Iron Man, so I don't understand that answer, but okay.
Who's on the tree?
The Hulk.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to get Lee an Iron Man ornament.
He does love him some Iron Man.
I will have to do that.
This is awesome. He's all about some Iron Man.
Absolutely. Definitely. So, you have plans for Christmas, for Yule?
Yeah, you know, I'm probably going to have a fire in the backyard when I get back, but I'm going to be going up, and I'm going to see my oldest.
Right. London is, and she has been a guest on the show, so London is elsewhere, and you're going to be going up and saying hi to them, and spending a little time with both kids. So that's very cool. I got the phone call that my youngest twin is getting married in February.
Wow, in February.
So, hey, February 28th. I was like, oh, I love it. I'll never forget that day.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Actually.
Absolutely.
Anniversary.
Yep. Oh, and I just got a new job, which y'all have heard that about four times in the last 6 months. So, you know. But I got a new job, and I told my boss that I was turning 50 on March 29th, and that I'm turning my street into a block party, and she goes, I'll put in, see if we can close the store. I'm like, what? So, yeah, that's probably not going to happen, but the sentiment remains. So, next week, we are doing our Christmas / 100th episode.
Right.
And, Carrie, you have been on and off with the podcast since December 8th, 2021.
Right.
So, we have just recently celebrated your 2 year with the podcast.
Yeah.
So, next week, we're going to be talking about not renaming, but more rebranding.
Right.
So, this has always been my car, I'm the bitch driving. But, I think we need to include a lot more 80s.
Okay. Like 80s culture all over.
80s culture, 80s music, 80s movies, 80s thought processes, 80s...
Okay.
You know. Because Gen X, guys, there's a reason we are the lost generation. It's because we choose to be. But, you know, it's about time we were found. So,
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of talk and memes going around about the boomers and then Generation Y and the millennials and how we're kind of that bridge between the two and we're drinking martinis and getting drunk and saying, you know what, you guys burn each other.
I've seen it, but
yes, that the lady from Will and Grace, she's got like she's like, I'm Gen X. And, you know, yeah, I'd like to talk about the generational differences. I think that'd be kind of cool. Talking about the 80s, that'd be really cool. My son, not too long ago, was hitting some websites, and he's fascinated with the 80s.
Yes, he is. The McDonald's commercial was what clued me in.
That's right. Well, yeah, the Mac Tonight commercials.
Absolutely.
Well, he ended up saying, you know, Dad, what was it like going to Pizza Hut in the 1980s? And, like, for a split second, I was like, what kind of question is that? And then it dawned on me.
Right.
Oh, my God. sit down. Let me tell you.
Let me tell you about going to the Pizza Hut with a pocket full of quarters because there was at least two video games, usually two video games and a pinball game in the Pizza Hut. Usually it was Pac-Man, Galaga, and a pinball game.
Yeah, sometimes Miss Pac-Man, if we were getting a little on it or whatever, and then something weird like Defender.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like the lady, when you got a personal pan pizza and it was hot as hell, she would come out to the table with the gloves on and she'd like deal out the first slice. Usually to the oldest man at the table.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the waitresses were amazing because they're like, you know, you leave your drink at your table so you can go play the video game. Oh, no, she's going to bring out this little round wooden table, set it next to the video game, go get your drink, and set it on the table so that you have your drink and don't have to keep going back to the table.
It was the drink stand.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we're talking about the 80s, like stuff like that. Yeah, you're right, the 80s culture, the way of life.
Yeah, and it was so different than what is now acceptable. I mean, hey, look, if I screwed up and I got in trouble, I got in trouble at school. So my mom was a teacher. She knew about it before I got home. My dad knew about it before he got home, and my ass got tore the fuck up.
Yeah.
There wasn't none of this, go stand in the corner. There wasn't none of this, one, two, three, Oh, no. You didn't have 3 seconds to rethink your bullshit. All right?
Well, and, you know, and that being said, I'm certainly not hating on the boomers. Actually, maybe.
Oh, no, not at all.
But I'm certainly not hating on the millennials, you know, and I think that Gen X is in that very interesting, you know, Jen, we have actually personally witnessed capital punishment.
Yep.
Like, that's what we got. And now we're in kind of this world where there's a lot of people that are accepting of, you know, people that are intersexed or...
Right.
You know, what have you.
Right.
And you and I are probably somewhat in the minority and being okay with it, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Gen X is also unusually open-minded.
The thing about Gen X was we never really knew what to expect. Gen X was the generation that was told, dare to stay away from drugs. Gen X was the generation that said corporal punishment is not okay. And we're like, yeah, I told my dad I would call the law on him once. He handed me the phone. Said, go ahead. But your ass is going to come back home one day. Yeah, no. Gen X saw the creation of Google, the creation of the internet, the creation of cell phones. We were there before all of these things were commonplace.
We were the first high-tech, you know, human species developing high-tech. We were the first generation.
But, you know, everybody says, why don't y'all fuck with Gen X? Why don't y'all blame Gen there's a reason you don't blame Gen X? Because, we don't hurt your feelings with words. We will just tear your ass down.
Yeah, we're also the last generation that was straight up, like, hit you in the back of the head with a bottle.
Right. We didn't do this, I'm going to go on your page and post a lot of negative things to make you feel bad.
Yeah,
we're going to be the one standing in your driveway going, hello, bitch, what the fuck? Bring your ass out here. So, yeah, you know, we didn't have safe spaces. We didn't have counselors that would listen to us. Mm-hmm. No, I had a very good friend that killed himself when I was, let's see, 89. That would make me 15. Yeah. And they were trying to teach classes normal, and I threw my books against the wall. They said, go to the principal. I said, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to the principal. The only safe space we had, there were so many of us who knew this kid. They gave us a auditorium room for us to gather and to discuss things. That was like the beginning of y'all's safe spaces. You know, that was us that did that. There was a reason. So, you're welcome. But, we didn't get our feelings hurt because somebody didn't like the color of shirt we were wearing.
Yeah, we were busy watching, like, Ghostbusters and having a good time. You know, the original Stranger Things.
Absolutely. The original Twilight Zone.
The movies were great. Yeah, you know, we had Lost Boys.
No kidding, right?
Right, yeah. You know, they got Twilight. I guess I appreciate it, whatever. We had Lost
Okay,
Boys.
I'm really sorry. I love the Twilight series, but bitch, vampires don't glitter.
Yeah, right. I kind of like the villain vampires a lot more. I was like, now we got some vampires.
All right. Arrow. You know Arrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the actor?
Yeah, his name's, it's not Will Arnett, but it's something like that.
Michael Sheen.
Wait, Arrow?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant from the CW show Arrow.
No. From Twilight.
Oh, got you. No, sorry.
He started his career playing the head werewolf in Underworld.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great.
Oh, he was beautiful. What the fuck happened?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like he changed when he did Tron.
Yeah, I think Tron affected him, as it affected us all.
Yeah, which is another fantastic movie from the 80s. Well, the original Tron. Mike Sheen was, of course, in Legacy.
Right. But no, if we're talking 80s, well, okay, this is probably 90s movies. But anybody play the game StarCraft?
Oh, yeah, the franchise.
Yeah, StarCraft, and then you had Brood Wars, and then you had a couple of others. There was a movie that precipitated all of that called Star Troopers.
Oh, Starship Troopers?
That's it, Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I had not seen the movie for probably 15 years. And okay. I have the games. I love the games. I think they're great. I can't win without cheat codes, but hey, that's why they give you cheat codes. But then I saw this movie and I'm like, oh, shit. So I showed the movie to my kids and they're going, Mom, that's a lot like that game that we play. And I'm like, uh-huh. Mom, that's like incredibly like that game that we...
Well, yeah, no doubt it was inspired.
Oh, yeah. There is a direct correlation between the movie and the game. So, they're like, but I thought the game came first. No. No. Sorry, kid. No.
Lots of direct influence.
Oh, absolutely.
And it influenced a lot of stuff.
It really did.
The 80s is where science fiction got, like, violent, and it was okay. You know, the 60s and 70s, it was like 2001, A Space Odyssey, and Silent Running, and Dark Star and stuff.
Right.
When the 80s came, it was like Aliens, and Starship Troopers, and RoboCop, you know, and people's heads were fucking popping, you know.
Oh, yeah, blood flowing everywhere.
Like science fiction, it was possibly going to be bloody.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Me and my sister used to, we used to make it, that was our Friday nights, is we would get on the sci-fi streaming channel and come up with the most ludicrous movies ever. Like Sharknado, Sharknado 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. We've seen them all. So we found this one called Lavalantula.
Heard about Lavalantula.
Lavalantula. It's these car-sized tarantulas.
Right.
That when they bite you, they inject like lava into your system.
Right, right. Lee ended up hearing it. We love like all of those sci-fi. He's an aficionado for Sharknado. Like
I have got to introduce him to my sister because she is an aficionado for Sharknado.
Well, he's like, what is Lavalantula?
You got to show it to him.
Who was the one that did Where Is My Mind? It was the giant spiders. Big ass spiders. Yep, that was another. Octoshark. Yes, Octoshark was big.
Okay, now I've got to talk to my sister about Octoshark.
Octoshark was apparently a big deal when it came out because you should see this creature, gentle listener. It's insane. And you know what? It's terrifying. There's no way it could exist.
Well, that's always... Oh, I've got a question for you. And this is totally off topic, but it just popped into my head, and you know how my head works. So, all right. Did T-Rex evolve into chickens?
Like, directly? Even if millions and millions, indirectly, yes.
Okay. You know, a couple of years ago, they discovered a T-Rex skeleton with chicken feathers, basically, covering its entire body. Just south of Siberia.
Well, I know they've found dinosaurs that had chicken feathers in the past, like 20 or 30 years. And I'm like, you know, guys, right. There was like a bridge, but a Tyrannosaurus.
Well, think about it. Have you ever seen a full chicken? Stand him up on his hind legs. Does he not look like a fucking T-Rex?
Oh, we've never seen
But you've seen pictures with the tiny little paws in the front. Does the chicken wing not look like the T-Rex arms?
Are chickens cannibals?
Yes, they are.
I know Tyrannosauruses were cannibals.
So are chickens.
I did not know chickens were cannibals.
They will kill and eat their own kind. Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Thanks, guys. Thanks for putting that in my head.
All right, guys.
How both of you know that. That's disturbing.
So Lee knew it, too.
Both of you knew that?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
All right, guys. We are winding down. We got to let Carrie go. He's got a lot of things to do, but we are going to give you some contact information first. You can reach us. Huh?
We're doing some holiday cooking.
Oh, nice. Oh, how did the wassail turn out?
Very, 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 very good.
Nice.
I ended up putting this thing on low for 8 to 10 hours and let the apples and the oranges that I cut up in there emulsify.
Oh, nice.
It's like muddy Mississippi water.
There we go. And that is how you make wassail.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, guys. You can reach us at depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. That's our email. You can visit us on our blog, which is depheadshiddlestoners.com. You can reach out to our 24/7 dedicated phone line, which is 772-985-0063, or you can reach out to Carrie at
You can reach me at Mako3303, Mako3303, no spaces, at hotmail.com. You can also, almost every night, damn it, especially during the holidays, you'll find me on PlayStation Network. I mean, if you really want to reach me, it seems like PlayStation Network's a good place to do it, where I am Traveler2300, no spaces, Traveler with two L's.
And there we go. So, guys, look forward to our 100th episode, which we will be broadcasting on December 21st. What are we doing then? Rebranding.
We're going to go into the details of the rebranding.
Yep, because, guys, I love y'all. I love Johnny. I love Tom. But I love a lot more things than just that. So we're going to delve a little bit deeper into Jen's obsessions and see what else we're going to come up with for the rebranding this season.
Jen, you've plumbed the depths. These are your two highest obsessions.
Absolutely.
Tom and Johnny. And now you're basically branching out. And we always discuss pop culture.
Right.
So this seems to be a very logical branding for us. And again, young people, old people, I think that you'll find content that we talk about fun.
Everybody entertaining.
Entertaining, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely, me too. So, guys, until next week, see you later.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Jen.
Love and peace.
Peace and love, guys. We're out.
Bye.